From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Someone cuts me off, and I want to say a word at them. And the Holy Spirit says, shh, zip, zip. You're on candid camera, zip, zip. And there's a correcting presence or a correcting obedience. And so the Holy Spirit convicts me, and just right after I think, that's not what I want to do, Lord. Please forgive me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, President of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, part two of a message entitled The Promise of the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn how to depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us through this minefield that we call life. But if we want Him to be our guide, there is one thing that is very, very important. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was talking about the importance of obedience.
So He gives us the Spirit of God to guide us. He knows God's plans for our future. We say, well, is it a good one? Absolutely. Okay, then I'll be a multi-billionaire. No, may not be. May or may not. God's plan may or may not be for you to be some billionaire, but rather maybe a servant. That's the best for you. See, we have to come to a point where we say, Lord, whatever You design me to be, I want to be that. Oh, it's not comparing with others here or the lives of the rich and the famous or this. I want to be what You want me to be, not what the world wants me to be or Hollywood. You. Because for some, the Lord may say, I want you to be a servant. I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be a counselor. I want you to be a missionary or a pastor or a teacher in a Bible college, or I might want you to be a mom that raises those three kids I'm going to give you. And little do you know, Mom, one of those kids will be another Billy Graham for the 21st century. You don't know that, but if you'll be faithful to let me guide you, you will see how we will change the world. But sometimes we reject that. That's not good enough. I want something better because the world is saying, look at all, and I compare myself, and I may miss the promise of God's future that may not be for this generation, but you're investing in the next where something great will take place. A D.L. Moody, a Billy Graham, another David, another ambassador, Paul the Apostle kind of person, an Esther or a Ruth. We have no idea. And as the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to be a good mom. I want you to be a dad. I want you to be a pastor, a missionary. I want you to be a CEO, a businessman. I want you to do this. And when you become this, this is what I want you to do. Why? Because that's how God designed it. And if you walk into that, you'll see what God had planned and you'll understand the impact that your life will make. And just think if every single one of us did that, walked with the Holy Spirit, the living promise of God, the tutor of God, and we become all that He created us to be. Do you understand how powerful the church will be? And that's why God says, don't leave Jerusalem without Him. Make sure that you're walking with Him. Can I do it myself? Let's read Ephesians 3:20. Let's read it. Go. By His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. He's able. He is able. Now, there's one rub. If you're going to develop a relationship with Emmanuel in the person of the Holy Spirit to guide you and tutor you into God's best, it's going to require one thing. Would you write down, but we must be willing to obey. Obey. Number three, we must be willing to obey. It's going to require obedience. Let's read Acts 5. Account of the early church and see what the Lord says to these young men and women intent on following God's best for their futures. Read it with me. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who... So as I say, Lord, I want to obey, guess what? The Holy Spirit becomes even more delighted to guide and to give truth and to show us the future as we walk with Him step by step. But if I choose to disobey, I got a better way. I'm going to compromise. She looks good. Forget it. And we resist and go the other way. Then what happens is the Holy Spirit does not have entree into our life anymore. And we start to miss God's best. And we hit pitfalls again and again. And then you know what His ministry becomes? His whole ministry is bailing me out. Putting out fires. bandaging up my wounds. Will he do that? Yes, he's a wonderful Lord. But I don't want that to be his main ministry of pulling me out of pit holes and pulling me out of sewers all the time and bandaging me up. No, I want him to be what God designed him to be, which is a guide to all truth. So in order for me to have that kind of relationship with him, I must be willing to what? Obey, right. Because he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. What use is it if he gives me the Holy Spirit to guide me and I don't listen to him? So he's saying, obey. What good is it, Wayne, to buy a $3,000 saddle for someone who hates horses? Or to buy someone a tremendous cruise ticket around the Mediterranean to someone who hates boats and oceans? It's useless. God is saying, if I'm going to give you the precious promise of the Holy Spirit, a living tutor, then the rub is obey him. Then he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Oh yes, he'll bandage you up, but don't let that be his whole ministry of putting out your fires and pulling you out of pit holes. Let him begin to guide you into all truth. That will mean that we'll have to obey him. But there's two types of obediences. Would you write it down in your notes there? The first kind of obedience, and we just talked about it, is corrective or correcting obedience. Correcting obedience, where we obey and he corrects us. In other words, I'm wanting to go one way and he's going to correct me. I want to resist God and he corrects me. No, he does not condemn. He will convict, but the Holy Spirit never condemns. Conviction draws you nearer to God. Condemnation will drive you further from God. So if ever you sense condemnation, it's not from God. God isn't here to condemn. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That's right. He came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to seek and condemn the lost, but to save them. And so if you're ever in church or anywhere and you sense this heavy-handed thing of condemnation, it's not from God. Now, there's a difference. He will convict my heart, but that drives me to my knees and say, Lord, please restore me. Condemnation will drive you further from God. So the Holy Spirit will be there to correct you because I have a tendency to follow the flesh. Someone cuts me off, and I want to say a word at him. And the Holy Spirit says, shh, zip, zip. You're on candid camera, zip, zip. You know, and watch. And so the Holy Spirit convicts me, or I do something wrong, and just right after I think, that's not what I want to do, Lord. Please forgive me. And there's a correcting presence or correcting obedience because we have a tendency to go the other way. Now, you're going to feel that pull. Let's read the next scripture out of Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the New Living. Go. I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Now, the old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. So he gives a correcting obedience and he tells us the importance of it. Let's read Romans 8, 6. Go. For the mind set on the flesh is, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. You see the difference? So he's going to correct us. But now, that's not his whole ministry. Yes, he'll do that. He'll pull me out of the pits. He'll bandage me up. But here is a greater measure of obedience that I want to share with us. And that's not only correcting obedience, that's good, but let's go from the negative side of the equation to the positive side. And would you write down a perfecting obedience? A perfecting obedience. This is an obedience to his leading that begins not after you've messed up. You could be doing zero wrong. But now what he's going to do is not take you from the negative and get you to zero. He's going to take you from zero and get you into the positive. It's called a perfecting obedience. Not that you've done anything wrong. He's going to lead you to become more and more like Christ. Not just less and less like the devil. Now he's going to make you more and more like Christ. You understand that? So if we stay just on this side, well, the Holy Spirit is just to make me less like the devil. Well, that's good. But then what? You come to a zero and that's the end of it? Yeah, I'm not doing anything wrong. Hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, that shouldn't be our goal in life, to say, hey, I'm legal. I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, that's fine. But it's got to go from there and take you more into the image of Christ and the more positive things. So instead of just correcting obedience, it's now perfecting obedience. Because like when you come to the Lord, it's like you're a minus 50 down here. You look just like the devil, you know. You're way down over here. We cuss and lie and cheat and do all these wrong things. And then God starts convicting our hearts. So we go now, we're minus 25. We're kind of bad, not as bad as we used to be. And then we go to church and things get better and better and better. And finally, we just kind of come, boop, we poke our head out. Oh, look, oh, yeah, boop. We're back down under the ground again. And then we get a little better and boop, oh, hello, everybody. Yeah, and then we finally get to zero. We think, okay, all right, we're not doing bad things anymore. Yoo-hoo, but that's not enough. It's like you just came from a minus 50. Now you just finally come up to the surface and go, yes, I'm a zero. That's my goal in life, to be a zero. No, God is saying, now let's start to move on the positive side to become more like Christ. That's when we start to influence the world. Let's read what it says here in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Go. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like, and reflect His glory even. So in other words, you're walking outside and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, Wayne, pick up that piece of rubbish. Now, if we're just on the correcting side, we'll go, hey, I didn't throw that down. That's not my problem. See? Let Pastor Elwin pick that up. I'm not picking that up. If we think that's all the Holy Spirit is doing is to convict us because we've done something wrong, we're only halfway there. That's correcting obedience. Oh, let me tell you about likeness. It'll start where you're doing nothing wrong. God's going to say, pick up that piece of rubbish. Oh, okay. And it's real obvious stuff, real simple things. See that lady struggling with that stack of chairs? Help her with that chair. Okay. All right. You put it down. And then the Lord may say, see that person over there that needs some help, that elderly person coming down the stairs? Just help them. Lady with that carriage, just help her. And as you obey the Holy Spirit in the perfecting side, it won't be long before people look at you and say, he's got a real servant's heart. You see, what he's done, the Holy Spirit's done, is he's made you more like Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. So people aren't going to say, oh, look, he picks up rubbish. No, they're going to say, oh, look, that guy really has a heart of a servant. The Holy Spirit will say, listen to that person there. Take a few moments. That's your daughter doing some homework. Just take 5 minutes to help her. Stop and just tell that person how much you appreciate. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. No. You're fine. Now we're going to work on becoming more like Christ. Oh, okay. What should I say? Just tell them you appreciate them. Hey, Joe, I appreciate you. Really? Yeah. Why? I don't know, but I appreciate you. And you say, well, little by little, you'll get better and better because you're gaining by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then pretty soon that people will say, you know, he's got a heart just like Jesus. There's a genuineness about that person. There's a simplicity about that person, but it's so refreshing. And see, what happens is the Holy Spirit is making us more and more like him, because people, listen, the world doesn't need to see us in religious modes. They need to see Jesus Christ in refreshing ways. Because for a lot of people, you're going to be the only Jesus they'll ever see. And you'll be the only Bible they'll ever read. And so as the Holy Spirit moves us from the correcting obedience into the perfecting obedience, then we become people who come out of the world and go into his kingdom. That's what he wants. Then not only do we become the people he created us to be, and we apprehend our futures that he designed for us, along the way, we become more and more like him. And then we start to make an impact in the world, and that's called the church. Let me finish with a little story about how that happened in one guy's life. You can put your notes away and just kind of listen to this story. It's about a boy named Kyle in his high school years. It's told by one of his friends. And it goes like this. One day, when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all the books he had in his locker. And I thought to myself, why in the world would anyone take all his books home on Friday? This guy must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend already planned. You see, my youth group at the church was having a party at the beach. We were going to play flag football in the sand. I didn't have time to meet anybody new, so I just started walking home. But as I did, I saw a bunch of kids running towards this guy named Kyle. I mean, they ran at him, knocking all his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed on the dirt. And his glasses flew off and landed about 10 feet from him. As I looked, I saw a terrible sadness in his eyes as the boys ran off laughing and jeering. My heart went out to him, and just at that moment, I just really felt the Lord say, "Go help him. Help him now." So I jogged over, and as he was crawling around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye. I handed him his glasses, and I said, "Those guys are jerks. Don't worry about them. They should get a life." He looked at me, and he said, "Hey, thanks. I mean, like you really meant it." There was a big smile on his face. It's one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up all of his books, and I asked him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived really near me, so I walked him home, and we talked all the way, and I carried like half of his books for him, and he turned out to be a pretty cool kid. So when we arrived at his house, I said, "Hey, you want to play football with some of my friends this weekend?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd really like that." So we hung out all weekend. And you know what? The more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. Monday morning came, and Kyle, there he was, walking to school with his huge stack of books again. I stopped him and I said, "Kyle, man, you're going to really build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half of his books to carry. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became the best of friends. And when we became seniors, we started to think about college. Kyle was going to Georgetown to study to be a doctor. I was going to go to Duke on a football scholarship. Kyle was pretty smart. He was the valedictorian of our class. And I teased him all the time about being such a nerd. But now he had to, because of it, prepare a speech for graduation. And I was glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. It was graduation day and I saw Kyle. He looked great. I mean, he's one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked pretty good in glasses. He had more dates now than I did, and the girls loved him more, I think, and that was bad. But anyway, today was one of those special days. But I could see my friend Kyle was pretty nervous about his speech. So I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, guy, you'll be great." And he looked at me with one of those looks, that really grateful look that I once saw. And he smiled and he said, "Thanks. No, really, thanks." As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation," he said, "is a time to thank all of those who have helped you make it through the tough years. Your parents, teachers, siblings, maybe even a coach. But today, I want to thank my friends, especially one. I am here to tell you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. Please let me tell you a story." And I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. You see, what I didn't know was, as he went on, he shared how he was planning to kill himself over the weekend. His depression had gotten the best of him, and he talked of how he had cleaned out his whole locker so that his mom, after he would be gone, wouldn't have to go back to the school later and clean it up for him. So he was carrying all of his stuff home. He looked hard at me and then gave me a little smile. He said, "But thankfully, on that way home, I was saved. A friend of mine saved me from doing the unspeakable." And when he said that, I heard a gasp go throughout the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us about his weakest moment. And then I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling that same grateful smile that I saw in Kyle that day. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized the depth of that day. Never underestimate the little nudges of the Lord. Because with one small step of obedience, you can change a person's life. It was there that the Holy Spirit would nudge him. And just that small step of obedience. Oh, he could have said, yeah, well, it's not my fault that he's like that. I didn't do anything wrong. That's not my business. But he moved over on this side to the perfecting obedience. And because of that, a person's future was saved. A person's future was redeemed. And God is going to do that with both you and me. The most beautiful promise of all is the living promise of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that today you'll gain a brand new appreciation for the Holy Spirit, to make friends with Him. Because not only is there to guide you to your future as you obey Him, but along the way, we become more and more like Christ. And that's when we start to impact our world. And that's called the church. That's what we are. Let's receive that promise and walk with Him. Make friends with the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Amen.
Heart.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, The Promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope, and until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.